excited to have you in service with us. It's going to be a lot of fun this summer. But I am excited to be here today, as always, but especially because we are continuing in a series called The Followers of the Way, which is a book that is, it's based off a book by Simon Reed. And this is a book I told you guys a couple weeks ago that I found on a bookshelf in Bath, UK. And it has just like changed the way that I view my personal discipleship journey with God, and it's changed it for the better. And my prayer is that it'll do the same for you. So this book is going to lead us through a series of what they call way paths, or just simple guidelines of sorts that will help us live a life based on the way of Jesus. And I, last week, my dad, Kurt Farrell, was here, and he spoke about being the first way path of being a lifelong learner, which is just learning and growing with God. And he told us that we should find it weird when we encourage people to grow and learn more about God every day. Because it said, like he said, it should be like breathing. It should be like taking a breath or making your heart beat. It should just be a natural step that you learn more about God every single day. And we need to have that attitude as a lifelong learner, if that's just a natural part of who we are, someone who learns more about the Lord every single day. But today we're going on to our second way path, and if you're following along in the book, technically it's way path 5, and I'm so sorry to confuse you, but I hope you'll forgive me. I'm bouncing around a little bit in the book just to make things a little bit flow a little bit more in the summer. But as we went into summer, there was a time in Indiana that we could actually be outside. It's nice, it's beautiful, and I wanted to start at the beginning of the summer talking about our way path for today, which is celebrate and care for creation. Because this is the season we're starting to get outside. This is our chance to be out in nature. So I wanted to give you all summer to think about this way path. Celebrate and care for creation. Because I think a lot of you would agree that this isn't talked about a lot in the church. Celebrating or caring for creation, we don't talk about it a lot in the church. But I think that it's really important, because I think a lot of you would also agree that it's easier to connect with God in nature sometimes. It's very clear we can see God and we see his handiwork when we're out in nature. And I think that's by design. God intended that. So I grew up attending Camp Challenge in Bedford, Indiana. And when I graduated college, Camp Challenge offered me my first full-time job. And I experienced summer after summer of finding God out in the woods in southern Indiana. And then I got to work there, and I watched hundreds, maybe close to thousands of campers find God out in those same woods. And I don't think this is by accident. But look how beautiful it is, first of all. Can we just, beautiful, it's gorgeous. This is the background on my computer. I just love it so much. But camp isn't the only place that I have found God in nature. I think there are few things more holy than when you're on a boat in a big body of water and you're going kind of fast and the wind is like blowing in your ears and you can't really hear anybody else on the boat and you just feel the wind in your hair and you feel the spray of the water on your face. And something is so holy, you can just feel the Spirit in that moment on the boat. I always feel close to God there. Or what about the glory of a mountain? When you're at the bottom of the mountain, you are so deeply aware of how small you are in comparison to these large stone giants. But when you climb a mountain, you can see the rest of creation. On a clear day, you could see for miles and miles of just the glory of all that God has created. It's beautiful. About 2 years ago, you guys were so generous and sent me on a trip to South America, and I got to see the Iguazu Falls from both the Argentina and the Brazil side. And so Argentina is the green one over here at the top of the falls, and then the Brazil side is from the opposite side of the river. And this is the Iguazu Falls. It's the largest system of waterfalls in the world. And when I tell you that I have seen a place where creation screams the glory of God louder than anything I have ever heard, I saw the glory of God there. Creation is screaming praise to God. And as Christians, we believe that God created the earth. In a similar way to how he created you and me, he created this wonderful world for us to live in. But unfortunately, because of sin, we don't always treat the gifts that God gives us with respect. And sometimes we even exploit those gifts that God gives us. And I want to address something right off the bat. Unfortunately, the conversation of caring for creation or thinking about the planet is one that has been often politicized for one reason or another. And I want to explicitly avoid making this a political issue. Caring for creation shouldn't be something that we reject, and it also shouldn't be something that we hold over somebody else. This should just be who we are as Christians. And that might seem odd, but we're going to jump into some scripture to maybe help us understand that a little bit better. But I want to get a clearer picture for exactly what is our responsibility and why is creation important in the first place. So we're going to explore that today. But before we jump into our scriptures, I'm going to pray and just ask God for his guidance as we learn today. So if you'll pray with me. God, thank you so much for today, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and learn. God, I pray that you will be with us. I pray that your word will fall on good soil. I pray that it will grow into something fruitful in our lives. I pray that you will give us a heart that is willing to change. I pray that you'll give us ears that is willing to listen. And I pray that you'll give us eyes that are willing to see the glory of the magnificence of your creation. Thank you so much for your gift that you've given us, both in your word and in your glory and magnificence in nature. We love you so much, and we'll give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so when we want to start at the beginning of creation, we have to start at the beginning, or in Genesis 1. We open the whole Bible with a poem of God creating the world. He creates light and dark, and then he creates the sky, and he creates the land and the sea. He creates day and night and the sun and the moon, and he creates birds and sea creatures. He creates animals of all kinds. And then he creates us, humankind, and he even creates us in his own image. And then he rests in the beauty of all that he created. But when God created humankind, he didn't leave us without a purpose. He gave us a reason to be in the garden and to be on earth. And he gives us a responsibility and a gift. So in Genesis 1, verse 28, it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And let's pause right here. I think it's important to note that a lot of times people might use this verse to be like, well, we're in charge of the earth, so we can use the earth as we want. We've been given authority here. But I want you to think of, how does God rule us? Is God very authoritarian? Is he like, well, I can exploit humans however I want because I made them? It's like, no, God is a loving God, a just God. And so let's keep that in mind as we learn about how we should rule over the earth. Are we ruling it with an authoritarian heavy fist? Or are we ruling it with a loving and tender heart like Christ? So, resume sermon. Okay. God establishes humankind as stewards of the Garden of Eden, so over all of God's good creation. And this responsibility doesn't go away with the fall. So after Adam and Eve eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the fall, and they get kicked out of the garden, this responsibility doesn't go away. But God does inform Adam and Eve that it will be harder to carry out that responsibility that we have because that we are doing it outside of the protection of God, the protection of the garden. But it is still our responsibility. We have been placed as stewards of the king of creation of God. And as the creation made in the image of God, we share in the responsibility to protect and care for the other parts of God's creation. And I think that still applies to us today, not just back with Adam and Eve. So I know that sometimes as adults, we don't always view responsibility as a gift. Responsibility is more of a chore or a job. But I want you to think about something weird. I want you to think about a pet rock, okay? Now, I have a friend whose daughter is in kindergarten, and a few weeks ago, they had Bring a Rock to School Day, which, if I was a kid, that would have been the absolute coolest day at school ever, because all of these kindergartners got to bring in their rock collections and show all of the other kindergartners the coolest rocks that they found. And if you were a kid, you remember, you know what this is about. You know what it's like to find the coolest rock ever, and you put it in your pocket and you keep it forever because it's beautiful. Rocks are cool. But then, after they shared all of these rocks with their friends, their teachers gave them these special rocks, and they were really smooth, and they got googly eyes to put on them, and they got all of these fun things, and they got to have pet rocks, and they got to name them. Now, show me something who cares for anything better than a six-year-old girl cares for a pet rock. Like, you can't. Like, this rock can't do anything, but these kids, they will make a bed with all the and a home with all the pretty things that they can find, and they will say goodnight to these rocks, and they will take these pet rocks everywhere. They are so excited, and then they grow up to be 27-year-old adults, and they will keep these rocks on their bookshelves because they cannot get rid of a rock they were given 21 years ago. All right? They can't get rid of it. So maybe this is too specific of an example, but when kids are given ownership of something, they don't view it as a job or responsibility. They first view it as a gift. Kids love having ownership of something. They feel so important. They love to do that. And I think that is how God wants us to view the responsibilities that he gives us. Not as just chores or things we have to do, but as gifts that he's given us that we get to experience with him. He's inviting us into the work that he's doing with the kingdom. And Jesus actually addresses some of this responsibility in one of his parables that he tells his disciples. So in Matthew 25, there's three parables that he starts out with, and we're going to be talking about the middle parable. And that is sometimes called the parable of the talents, which is just a form of money or a form of gold. So it starts off with a wealthy man who's leaving town for a while, and he entrusts some of his wealth to three of his servants while he's away. One servant gets 5 bags of gold. One servant gets 2 bags of gold, and one servant gets 1 bag of gold. The man is gone for a while, and the servants all do different things with their money that they were given. And when the wealthy man returns, he gathers his servants and asks them to report on what they did with the money they were given. And the first servant says, I took the 5 bags of gold and I turned it into 10 bags of gold. I worked and I sold things and I invested and I turned it into 10 bags of gold that you can have back. And the wealthy man is so pleased, and he promises to richly bless the servant and give him more responsibility in his estate. That's part of the gift he gives, is more responsibility, which again, doesn't always sound like a gift. But he's so happy, right? And then he goes to the second servant, and he's like, what did you do with your money? And he's like, well, you gave me 2 bags of gold, and I turned it into 4 bags of gold, which is not as much as 10, but it's still a good return on investment. It's the same return on investment. And the wealthy man is so thrilled. He's like, you did such a great job. And he promises to bless this servant and richly bless him and give him more responsibility in his estate, which again is a part of the blessing he receives. But then the wealthy man turns to the third servant and said, well, I took the gold that you gave me and I buried it. And it's still here, but I haven't done anything with it. And the wealthy man is displeased, and he tells the servant to depart from him, which is really interesting because the gold is still there. The money that he entrusted with the servant, he didn't waste it. He didn't squander it. But he also didn't do anything to care for it or enrich it. He didn't take his responsibility and view it as a gift that he could also take back and give to the wealthy man again. He just did nothing with it. He buried it and forgot it. And after this story, Jesus goes into the parable of the goats and the sheep. And it's interesting because Jesus will describe people who did all these things in his name, and they get to the end of the line and Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. And they were like, but what do you mean? And he's like, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. And they're like, well, we didn't ever see you that. We didn't ever see you in those places. And he's like, but you didn't do it for the least of me, right? You didn't take the responsibility that I gave you to love your neighbor. You didn't get it. You didn't do anything with the responsibility of the gift that I gave you to love your neighbor. I gave you that as a gift. You didn't do anything with it. And so you never truly got it. You never truly understood. And I think that if Jesus is telling us that if we're given a responsibility from God, we are being given a gift. If we neglect that responsibility and gift, then we are displeasing God. So if we're originally given the responsibility to care for creation since the beginning of time, both humankind and naturekind, we need to take that gift seriously. We are supposed to care for creation, all of it, our neighbors and our trees and our wildlife, all the same, because it's a gift, it's a responsibility that we've been given by God. So if you're like me, though, you might be wrestling with the, well, why? Why did God give us this responsibility? Why is it so important? What does it matter? Well, I think a lot of people have a lot of different answers to this question. So you might hear and relate to the science side of it, that if we don't intervene, entire species or ecosystems could cease to exist. Or you might hear and relate to a more practical approach, that this is the planet we live on, and we only have the one right now that we know of that's inhabitable, so we've got to take care of it if we want it to be around for generations to come. You know, we might need to make changes. But what if I told you that there is a real spiritual, scriptural evidence for caring for creation? There is a reason why I believe God wants us to care for his creation. There's a divine reason that we have this responsibility and gift in our lives. See, creation was made by God. And I know that seems simple, but the Bible has many, many places where people describe creation as alive and singing the praises of God. And in the book of Psalm, there at the end, there are a couple of different psalms called the Hallelujahs, the Hallelujah Psalms. And they each kind of tell a different story. And this one in Psalm 148 specifically is about creation, praising God. So let these words resonate with you. I'm going to read the entirety of Psalm 148 and just let it wash over you. So praise the Lord, or hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever, and he issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up his people as a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. All around the world, creation is singing the praises of our Creator. It mentions the sun and the moon. It mentions the sea. It mentions the fish and the birds. It mentions all of the animals. And it mentions humans, not just rulers, but also everybody on earth. We all are praising the Lord. That is what we were created for. That's why we were established. And Jesus says, when we stop singing the praises of God, even the rocks will cry out. Something in our nature, not just our nature, but in creation, was made to worship the Lord. And here's why I think caring for creation is so important. When we are in nature, when we're spending time in nature and celebrate all that God has made and all of the intricacies of his beautiful creation, we are surrounding ourselves with things that sing the praises of God. We're surrounding ourselves with that. The reason why I believe we feel more connected with God in the outdoors is because we hear the birds singing to God. We hear the trees dancing in praise. We see the trees dancing. We watch the water and the wind practice obedience to go where God tells it. We understand that creation's one true purpose is to glorify God. We get a glimpse of the Garden of Eden. And we're watching God's fellow creation be obedient to their call. And this is why I think kids respond so well to God at Camp Challenge or out in nature. It's because they are surrounded by the choir of creation day in and day out, praising God. They're surrounded by God's creation that is all screaming his praise. And this is why it's so important that we care for nature and take our responsibility seriously. Because when we damage or lose creation, we exploit our gift. We run out of spaces we or future generations can turn to when we need to be surrounded by a choir of people or a choir of creation praising God. When we decide to bury our responsibility instead of work to see God's creation prosper on earth, we are rejecting the gift for ourselves and damaging that gift for others. That's not the kind of person I want to be. If everything that God created exists to exalt him and lift him high, then we as creations, as believers in the one true creator, have a responsibility to make sure that God is exalted in everything. And not just with our own mouths, but with the whole of creation, with everything that God designed to praise him, we have the responsibility to make sure continues to praise him. God entrusted us with this. Now, this doesn't mean that I expect all of you to go out right now and attend a climate protest tomorrow or all go out and buy electric vehicles, okay? That's not what I'm asking you to do. But I am asking you to shift your focus to see nature as living and breathing creation with the purpose to glorify God. What lengths would we go to fight for God's creation if we truly shifted our perspective? And this is why it is a way path with the Celtic Christians of history. When Celtic missionaries first showed up, there was this group of people who were the Druids. And they practiced a magical religion, a pagan religion, that really focused on the beauty of creation. And they looked at all the things, and they saw something in creation. And they started worshiping, like, they saw the beauty of the trees, so they would worship the trees, right? And so Celtic missionaries showed up, and they said, okay, I see what you mean, but what if I tell you that the power of the creation that you're sensing in these trees is not coming from the trees themselves, but it's coming from an even powerful creator who made those. And that's how they evangelized the Celtic region. As they said, you recognize there is power in creation. You see the beauty of God in Scotland. Are you kidding me? Like, they saw the beauty of God day in and day out. But these Christians said, what if I show you who made these things? What if you could worship that person? And that is why it's still in our way path today. Right? If we go out and we experience God and we celebrate all that God is doing with creation, and then we care for it to make sure that future generations can still go to those places and celebrate creation with us, then we will surround ourselves with praise and we will exalt our creator in the way that he created it to be. I want to leave you with a story. So growing up, I was blessed to know a great man of God named Bill Clampett. And he went home to be with the Lord in January at the age of 93 years old. He lived a wonderful life full of passion for youth and the next generation, praising and worshiping God and creating opportunities for everyone to know the Creator better. And he and his wife, Margie, led the Indiana South Youth Choir of the Church of God. And I had the honor of being a part of that choir for 6 years. And one day, Bill was leading a devotion with a bunch of high schoolers and while we were on tour, and he told us about one of his own personal way paths, one of his own personal rules of life that he followed. And that was, for his whole life, anytime he passed a piece of trash that was in his path or a weed in a garden or something that was wrong with the choir of creation, he would stop and fix it. everywhere he went. And he would catch them all the time. He'd pick up a weed out in front of an Arby's in their mulch. Because he was like, this doesn't need to be here. Or if he walked by a piece of trash, he was 90 years old and picking up trash off the side of the road because he was walking past it. And that was a rule of life. But he said that he wanted everywhere he went to look a little bit more like heaven. And this always stuck with me because everywhere Bill went did look a little bit more like heaven. And everyone could see that who knew him. It's not just in the way that he treated people, although he treated everyone with kindness and love. He loved his neighbors so well. But he also loved the choir of creation that he saw every single day. It's also important to note that Bill was at the first meeting of Camp Challenge ever back in 1950 when they dedicated the grounds. He heard the choir of creation, and he thought it was important to fight for it. So as the band comes back up, I want you to know that this is what I want for us this summer. I want you to spend some time with the choir of creation. Go on the hike that Josh is leading on Saturday. Spend some time outside, even if it's just in your backyard. It doesn't have to be in Bedford, Indiana or South America. Just outside in nature. I want you to hear the praises that are constantly being sung to our God. And when you are there and you find this creation and you are reminded of that chorus, I want you to do whatever you can, wherever you go, to care for our fellow creation. Take this responsibility and gift to steward the world seriously and create a world that is filled with all sorts of praise to our one true creator. Let's pray. Holy Creator, thank you so much for creating us. And thank you for first creating nature and trees and gardens and rocks and waters and all of these things that sing your praises. Thank you for building in reminders to our world what we were created for, our purpose. God, I pray that everything we do would exalt you, lift you higher. I pray that you will be with us as we learn to be better and kinder to your creation. God, I pray that we would reject a spirit of exploitation of your creation, God, and I pray that we would be good stewards of the responsibility and the gift that you've given us. We love you so much, and we're so thankful. Continue to teach us and grow us and guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.